This is the Lindell Report, bringing you news combined with hope by offering practical and achievable action points to assist you in defending and preserving faith and freedoms. And now, here is your host, Mike Lindell.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Lindell Report. I want to say it's been quite a day for media for me. We're going to report a little bit later in the hour here about I was just down in Missouri meeting with their great Secretary of State down there and with some other people, and I was down there for some other things. But Kasen Bayless, the Rotten Journalist of the Week Award, we're going to talk about him. We're going to start giving out them awards, the Horrible Journalist of the Week Award. But here's his headline. Missouri's top election official, Ashcroft, meets with conspiracy theorist Mike Lindell. Okay, Kasen, how about this? The worst journalist of the week, Kasen Bayless, is clueless about what he writes. That'll be my headline. But we're going to go through that and just see what a horrible journalist he is here. It's for the Kansas City Star. I don't know where they find these guys. I just got a call a little bit from the little bit ago from about Miami-Dade County, and I hung up on that journalist. He was so bad, he can't even make the cut. Just a horrible journalist because he was wasting my time asking about. He didn't even know what he didn't know anything about election fraud. I go, where have you been for 2 years? You know, so that's kind of a good. He wanted to know why are you bothering to go to look into Miami-Dade County? By the way, everybody, Miami-Dade County, they won't give us the cast vote records, of which they did in 2020. No problem. It's our Freedom of Information Act. All of a sudden, they won't give them to us because why? Because we'll find a county where there was no fraud and we can compare it and show everybody, look it, with no fraud, with fraud, or with crime. Which brings us, Brandon, what do we got tonight here? You've got a special guest.
Yeah.
I haven't heard the information, but give us some background here. I hear it involves my old pal, Robin Voss, the horrible Speaker of the House of Wisconsin, who, remember, everybody, Robin Voss is in my top three traitors and blockers of getting to the truth in the United States. Robin Voss, Speaker of the House in Wisconsin, has done more to block for our country. They're neck and neck. I'd have to put them neck and neck with Brad Raffensperger, which is the Secretary of State in Georgia. So what do we got going on, Brandon?
Yeah, we're going to be joined by Pete Berninger. He is, well, he's been tweeting up a storm, and he has uncovered what is overwhelmingly provable election fraud, enough to tip the election away from Joe Biden in 2020. This is not information I'm told that Voss wants out. I am told by sources that Voss is very, very angry that this information is out. So here we go. Pete, welcome to the program.
Why you do that? Why we're doing that? I'm going to text Robin to make sure he tunes in right now. Hold on. No, hold on here. You guys, I've been very nice to Robin. I've never put his number out publicly. I wouldn't do that even to the worst journalists out there. Okay, here we go. I'll text Robin. Let's go ahead and bring in Pete here.
All right. Hey, Pete, welcome to the Mike Lindell program, Lindell Report.
Thank you.
Hey,
thank you very much.
So tell our audience who you are, Pete, for a background. I've interviewed you once before, but remind our audience who you are.
I'm a private citizen in the state of Wisconsin that has been working with a great group of volunteers and other dedicated professionals to uncover what really happened in Wisconsin in the 2020 election. And we found it. We know what happened. We know who did it. And we're now working and taking real action to solve and fix these problems.
Excellent. You have a background in IT, I'm assuming, or what?
I'm a data analyst, and I've been working on this for 2 years solid, sometimes 12 hours a day, 6 days, 7 days a week, along with other people. So it's been a long, arduous journey But every time we uncovered a stone, we'd find three more.
Oh, good for you. Okay, I want to go right away to your screenshot here. This is Pete has been a busy guy. Let's go to that screenshot on my computer here. Pete has been a very busy guy on Twitter. It looks like you just opened an account. I can't get past December 27th. Did you not have an account before that?
No, I just opened it December 27th. I posted now 177 tweets. And it's very important for the audience, whoever reads these tweets, to go back to the beginning on December 27th and read from that the beginning all the way up, because it tells the story of what happened and who did it in our election fraud in the state of Wisconsin.
All right, you start
including
with
how Robin Voss is involved in this.
All right, you started with this tweet. This was
just
your first.
I just text Robin, and by the way, everybody, before we get into this, remember on November 8th on election night, little background about Robin. Remember, he told the city or the state of Wisconsin after for 8 months he had Michael Gableman, ex Supreme Court judge, do an investigation. Michael came in, recommended pulling down the election. There's fraud everywhere. Robin Voss says until a court does it, until a court says that we cannot do anything, then the Supreme Court of Wisconsin comes out and says there's fraud. Robin backs off completely. So we go after to get Robin Voss, to get him not elected. And here's what Robin said to me on election night. Pete, you're going to like to hear this. Here's what he said. Mike, I beat you twice. I said you stole it twice, you traitor. He said, but I'm going to sleep like a baby tonight, Mike, and not on your pillows because I know you're full of blah, blah. And I said, well, you're a disgrace to the USA, Robin. I'll be praying for you. God wins in the end. So there you go. Let's go. What do we got, Pete? I can't wait to see this.
I'd like to state is that this week on Tuesday on the steps of the Capitol in Madison, Wisconsin, Justice Gableman's lead investigator, Gary Waite, gave a speech, and he detailed how Robin Voss is sitting on election fraud documents that came to him through the Office of Special Counsel, and how Robin Voss knows who the insiders are who committed the voter fraud. And Robin Voss is the person who, behind the scenes, did not get the subpoenas signed by Janelle Branchon, who's a state assemblywoman who at the time was the chair of the elections committee. Our state law says that she had to sign those subpoenas. The person who prevented her from signing them to take depositions of these election fraud people like Claire Woodall-Vaughn and Megan Wolf in Wisconsin was Robin Voss. He's the one who squashed those subpoenas on purpose. Even while on TV, there's video across the internet of him admitting there was election fraud in Wisconsin. So that's what he tells the people to their face. And in the back room, he squashes the subpoenas and he handcuffs Justice Gableman. He ended up firing Gableman. He ended up firing Janelle Branchon from the election committee. And so he's quieting all the dissenters or people who have evidence to come and show and prove that there's election fraud.
It's unbelievable. You know, Robin Voss, I think he just picked, we should have a little chart, Brand. I want to get that. The biggest traitors in the United States, Robin Voss, everybody, just passed up Brad Crooked Raftenberger down in Georgia. I believe Robin Voss now has took over number one in the country. And when I say traitor, that's a blocker from the truth. Here, he's actually done things to actually, that's almost criminal, isn't it? What would you call that?
Robin Voss also came out this week and publicly announced that he's going to do everything in his power to prevent President Trump from being on the ballot. Now, it's not about Trump. It's about Robin Voss picking who he wants or doesn't want to be on the ballot on the behalf of the 5.8 million adults in our
But isn't this the guy? Isn't this the guy that was putting out there a picture of himself on a plane with President Trump when it benefited him?
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Remember, everybody, Robin Voss, I met Robin Voss, everybody, in Alabama at a rally, and it would have been in the summer of 21. And it's one of the first, it was the rally where Mo Brooks got up there and said there was no election crime. Let's move on. And anyway, I met Robin Voss, and I guess who introduced me to him? Reince Priebus introduced me to Robin Voss, okay? So then that's when this whole investigation started. He goes, we're going to have this judge. I want you to meet this Michael Gableman, and all this stuff transpired. Robin Voss, everybody, you know, this is where I spent an hour and a half right before the legislatures went out of session going, Robin, how could you do this to your country? Why would you not want to do this? And his lie then was, Mike, until I get a Republican governor, I can't, my hands are tied. Well, Robin, you ain't ever getting a Republican governor unless they want you to have a Republican governor. But it turns out that Robin Voss is part of the they. Everyone says when they, it's the only way you can put it, everybody, who did this to our country? The Democrats warned us of the machines for two decades. Here, who came in? The CCP, the deep state, the globalists, and the Uniparty. Does anybody think that Robin Voss could be part of all this, you know, this cabal? Because otherwise, does it make sense, Pete, that he does this blocking and this covering up to go into the extent of not just covering up? You know, he also got involved, I believe, with the Racine County Sheriff down there. Racine County Sheriff, they're like thicker than thieves. And that guy sat on my stage at the Moment of Truth Summit. Brandon, you didn't screen people very well there, I guess, you know. You let these guys in, and here they have ties back to Robin Crooked Voss. What a shame.
But I understand there were nine subpoenas that Justice Gableman sent out to take sworn depositions of the key people who committed the election fraud or knew about the election fraud in Wisconsin. And it was directly Robin Voss who squashed those. So we could expose this, everything about what happened in election fraud in Wisconsin, Robin Voss stopped it.
Wow. So these guys had either firsthand knowledge or they were part of it and they were willing to come forward. Well, they were getting subpoenaed. They guess they kind of had to, right?
Well, it's all told in my story and my tweets.
Okay, let's do this. Let's start with your first tweet, because we're already at the 15-minute mark and we haven't even gotten to the evidence. Let me start with your first tweet and start to unwind the story for us. Here's the first tweet, December 27th.
And you guys, here I got, Michael, where you're live on my show here. We're going after, if you could tune into Lindell TV, we're going through the crookedness of Robin Voss. So your name has come up here. You're an American hero, and we want to, so if you can get on your phone right now, we're going to start through, we just got started, and I know you're a hero, and what he did to you and what he's done to the state of Wisconsin and our country is just horrific. So
I am happy to join. I'll tell you what, you know, I'm happy to join. And but I got my friend out there down there in Arkansas. Are you going to be able, please come join us on the 15th? It'll be a good party.
Okay, let me check with you after the show here. We're live. We're just getting into some tweets here, and I'll get back to you right after the show.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
All right, thanks. Yep.
We'll talk. We should talk about what you're doing. That's perfect.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you.
All right. Michael. Now, just so everybody knows, that was Justice Gableman right there.
Yeah, that was Justice Gableman. We talk quite often, as I do with all the, you know, all these things across our country involved in. And by the way, after this, we are going to bring up the Kansas City Star. This horrible journalist just did a hit job on me just for going down to Missouri. And, you know, I'm running for the chair of the RNC, so I had some meetings down there. And the grassroots groups, or one of the groups from Cause of America, invited me to the Capitol or to meet with, they were meeting with the Secretary of State down there. And so that Kansas City Star is doing a hit job on him. He's running for governor. You can't vote for him. He was seen with Mike Lindell. You know, well, I got news for him. I'm going to endorse him right here in about 20 minutes. So let's keep going. I can't wait to see these first tweets.
All right, here's the first one. You wrote on their very first tweet out of the gate, December 27th, City of Milwaukee's election clerk, Claire Woodall Vogue, printed ballots in her back conference room of City Hall. She and her team did so for 3 weeks leading up to the November 3rd election. Omar Sheikh, a private citizen from Chicago, was present in the room. All right, you want to pick it up there? Peter?
Yes. Well, the 30,000 foot view to begin with, that's the first tweet I sent out. It's what we found is it's sovereign fraud. And what I mean by that is it's the government, along with NGOs, the nonprofits that they brought in, like CTCL, Souls to the Polls, MICA, and there's other organizations, the election group out of Ryan Chu out of Chicago. They're the ones who came in and ran our elections. And they used the Zuckerbucks money and the Reid Hoffman money to fund themselves. And they used they were under the cover of COVID. And they were printing ballots in the back room of her room 501 of Milwaukee City Hall. They took those documents and they went to the fourth and sixth floors to fill out the adjoining documents, like absentee ballot envelopes. They had teams of CTCL operatives in City Hall filling out this paperwork. And I have a lawsuit against Claire Widow-Aug for public records. I took her sworn deposition. I tweeted the one page where she was printing. She admitted there were 60,000 ballots that they printed on the ESNS ballot on demand machines. She's not allowed to print ballots before the election. The county clerk is supposed to order them by law. And then if she runs out on election day, she can photocopy ballots, but she has to fill out an incident report. She didn't do any of that. She admitted on under sworn oath that she was printing ballots with a private citizen from Chicago in there, and he was sleeping in a back room in room 501. And there's a hand-drawn map that is tweeted in one of my tweets, and it shows a room where he was sleeping in mostly during the day. He'd come out late in the afternoon and evening, and he was working on the computer of Neil Albrecht, who used to be the director of elections of the city of Milwaukee. That's the map right there. So they were printing ballots in that back conference room. And then the other room, it says, where a man was snoring with a question mark. That's where he was sleeping at nighttime, and he was a guy from Chicago.
Now,
and you can see Claire Widow-Aug's office in the lower left-hand corner, at least on my screen. And right. And that's what happened. And she actually had a meeting before November 3rd, 2020, and her staff was gathered together. They have about eight people, and of course they add many more during the election season, especially election day. And she told her people, these are CTCL people, you do what they say. Then she had a green folder, and she had what it was in the green folder was second set of books. So she was keeping the real numbers of the ballots and people that she was picking the names off of the wistful registration system. So the counts matched up. So you have, if you counted the paper ballots like they did at the Trump recount, everything matched. Well, that's why she did it. But she was also taking ballots and targeting low turnout wards, and she was feeding them through twice, just like Ruby Freeman was down in Georgia. And then they would feed the ballots through, then they would pick the names off the wistful registration system, and they obviously have access to it, and the government election officials, and they would use those names then to mark off as voted, because they can see in real time who voted and who didn't. So that's how they pulled the names off. And then when you look at all the counts, everything matches, except it was done fraudulently on a massive scale.
And then you said that she took a USB drive. And what did she do with that USB drive, according to your tweet on December 27th?
They had 11 tabulators in what they call the pit. And there was also a CTCL gentleman who was seen in that tabulator pit with a USB stick going up and down in the tabulators. So what she did is, from where they're counting the ballots, then she takes with a police escort. It was squad car number 554. And she got in with two officers. They drove a little bit. She made some big acting commotion. And she said, I misplaced a stick, a USB stick. So the officers turned around, took her back. And then she goes up, and her deputy director at the time, Kimberly Zapata, handed her a stick. Well, what we found out is that stick was switched in the sense of they deleted Trump votes off of it, and they added Biden votes to it. And that's when you saw that humongous spike Early in the morning, about 3:30, quarter to 4, on November 4th, 2020. Now, not all of those are fraudulent. I'm not saying that, because that is the results of the counting of them counting up absentee ballots all day long, starting at 7 a.m. November 3rd, the day before. So you would normally see a big spike, but we don't know the number exactly yet, but we're honing in around 30,000 ballots that she deleted for Trump and added Biden votes.
Which is the difference of the election right there.
That's it. Now there's more. We found a lot more election fraud. It's all in my tweets, 177 tweets with a lot more coming. But that, in a nutshell, is how they stole the election.
Now you say that these police officers that saw this went to the FBI.
Those police officers went to the FBI that they were so shooken up. They did go to the FBI. Their union disclosed that they were the two officers were put under pressure at the police headquarters or one of their stations to shut up and be quiet about it.
And then when the FBI found out about this, they found her at an Arby's and took her phone, right? Oh, I'm sorry. That would have been Mike Lindell. They did that too. Oh, okay.
No, that was a Hardee's. I wasn't Arby's. Hardee's.
So he gets his phone taken, but the FBI doesn't do anything to this woman, right? They didn't go take any of her stuff, right? Is that right?
It's worse. It's even worse. What happened is they tied in with a nonprofit called the Center for Voter Information. And before the 2020 election, they mailed out over a million ballot applications to citizens in Wisconsin. About 250,000 filled them out and sent them back in. Now, they sent them back in to Claire Wittevog in the city of Milwaukee, but they also sent them to a secret P.O. box that we discovered that WEC owns, and Megan Wolf controls that P.O. box. A former employee called Lawrence Nilek set that P.O. box up, and they were collecting those illegal applications to register because it wasn't an approved state-approved form, and it didn't ask all the mandatory questions that are required per state law to be able to register someone to vote. So what they did is that's how they inflated the voter rolls, and of course they knew who the 250,000 were. Now, not all of those were fraudulent. All the registrations were fraudulent, and I'm not blaming the people because they got an official looking form from this nonprofit, and it said mail it back to the election commission. But the P.O. box is a secret one for Megan Wolf. So Megan Wolf is implicated in this.
Wait a minute. Are you saying Megan Wolf has a secret P.O. box?
Megan Wolf has a secret P.O. box that we found that was on the instruction sheet for people to fill out of this phony, illegal absentee ballot. Phony voter registration application, because there's a lot of election forms. Okay, so when you fill that out, if you receive one from the nonprofit at your house, the instruction sheet, which I also tweeted, gives an address that's a secret P.O. box by Megan Wolf. She is implicated in illegally registering 250,000 people. And it's even worse than that, because those 250,000 people are still on the voter rolls today.
And how can you prove all this? Have you taken depositions? How can you prove all this?
Read my tweets. It's the stories in the tweets with supporting documentation.
So you're talking about criminal charges here against some of these people.
Correct.
And you're also saying in tweet from December 27th, that Robin Voss knows all I tweeted. Look at this tweet, guys. So far and more. He has the inside Milwaukee City Hall documents. Massive election fraud, and Voss has been sitting on it. A person who can confirm this fact, Gableman. Voss knew of these election frauds for a long time, and he has hid it from the public. Then you tweeted, one person alone in a room with Robin Voss. The person asked Voss to look into the election fraud, and Voss says, I don't blanking care.
You got it. That's what happened. Voss is sitting on documents, PDFs, screenshots, handwritten or typewritten notes from people who wanted to tell him what happened. And Voss shut down the whole investigation of Mr. Gableman, Justice Gableman.
What is this $10,000 a year right here? What is this tweet right here?
That's Robin Voss's pay to play scheme. That is an actual invoice from Robin Voss's rack It's like Republican Action Committee something. It's a PAC. And he forces all the Republican assembly people to pay him to his PAC $9,000 to $10,000 a year. If they don't pay, what happens is it's a wink-wink agreement. Then you don't get your committee chair, or you get removed from the chair, or you don't get it in the first place, or you don't get on the committee that you want. And he also put you up on the fourth floor of the state capitol, where it basically has pretty poor offices.
Now, this so again, it, is
it's
this
a pay-to-play fraudulent scheme, because he's requiring the assembly people, Republicans, there's 62 or three of them. If you don't pay, you don't get a chairmanship of a committee.
And again, if your allegations can be proven, these are criminal charges.
Correct. Yes, they are. In fact, a Democrat, Chavala, in the year 2000 in Wisconsin, was convicted of this same pay-to-pay scheme.
Good night. So you told me tonight on the phone that Robin Voss does obviously not want this information out. I mean, now I guess we can see why. But what have you heard about how concerned is he about what's being presented right now on the Lindell Report?
The only thing I can tell you is that he started following me after I began tweeting on December 27th is when I opened my account, and I began tweeting. And he's one of my followers still today, and he was on pretty quick.
What is this right here on this tweet?
That is one page from the sworn deposition I took of Claire Woodall Vogue in the public records lawsuit that I have against her, and it's still open and pending. I have specifically requested that she's refusing to provide is the data from the two laptops that were hooked up to the ESNS ballot on demand machines. And she won't give them to me. And that's why I had to end up, among other documents, why I had to end up filing a lawsuit against her. The case is still open and pending. And that's how I learned that she printed 60,000 ballots.
What is this? What is this tweet here?
Hey, I want to ask a couple things here. Peter, I'm looking at your Twitter page here. A lot of this stuff... I know you've got 500 and some thousand dead people. People don't realize in the state of Wisconsin, maybe you know the number, we have heard that there's 7 million plus people on the voter rolls, but there's only, if every registered voter registered in Wisconsin, it's a little over 4 million. Is that correct?
Yes, on the voter rolls registration list right now, you can look it up. It's public information on the website of the Wisconsin Election Commission. It's called Badge of Voters. There's 7.4 million registrations.
Yep. Okay,
now, in the state of Wisconsin, there's approximately 4.6 million adults. And, of course, you always have 15 to 20% who never register, never vote. So you're really down to an effective base of about 4.2, 4.3 million total adults. And we have 7.4 million on the list. Now, Megan Wolf will come out, and she has said on video and in writing, she said, well, don't worry, because the inactives on that list can't vote. But what she omitted is that the inactives the inactive list is connected to the active list. And in two clicks, you can flip an inactive to an active. And she always denied that or admitted it. She always admitted it until we caught her and then forced her to admit that that's the case.
Right. But nothing's been done about it. Now, is Megan Wolf a member of WEC? Is she on
Megan Wolf is the administrator of WEC, and WEC is run by a board of six commissioners.
But don't you think we should add Megan? I'm going to add Megan to the list of those six, and so make it seven that should all be put in prison someday in Wisconsin for what they've done to the state of Wisconsin. We've talked about the Wisconsin Election Commission for many, many, many times here on the Lindell Report. These guys they're the ones also that didn't they get in trouble with the nursing homes there too?
Yes, the big problem with WEC is what they do is they'll issue a memo to the election clerks throughout the state telling them their interpretation of the law. The problem is almost always their interpretation is wrong and it's directly against state statute. And I'm happy to announce recently in our state, our side has won 9 lawsuits. Okay. And almost every time against WEF, and you won't hear that on the mainstream media. So we are winning and beating them.
Wow. Okay, everybody. Branham, take note of that. 9 lawsuits. Remember, everybody, I tell you all the time, the judges are going to bring back this country. That is, so you have judges that didn't kick it out for standing. They actually looked at the, yes, and made a ruling.
And it's better yet, Mike, because what we're doing is, with through the actions that we're taking and the lawsuits that are being filed by various groups and people, we are making Robin Voss irrelevant. We're just bypassing him. We don't even need him. He's right. He's looking like an absolute fool in our state.
Well, he is a fool. He doesn't look like one. He is. He's more than a fool. He's a traitor and a fool. I was seeing if he texts me back yet. He's probably busy watching. Hey, Robin, if you're watching, hello. How you doing? You're getting exposed, Robin, for the criminal you are. What other tweets there, Brandon, do you have that we need to go over?
All right. I am also looking real quick. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it in time. I wanted to play the 60 Minutes piece because don't you remember, Peter, when 60 Minutes interviewed Megan Wolf and she tried to act like they have the cleanest elections in world history in Wisconsin? Remember that?
If you could please play that video, it's by Bloomberg.
It's Bloomberg.
And she was interviewed at noon on November 4th, 2020 by Bloomberg. And you'll see it's a 60-second video if you could find that, please.
All right, I'm going to...
You know, while he's looking that up, Peter, I put Wisconsin, Georgia, and Arizona on the same plane, almost identical, and here's why. They had all legislative Republican-controlled. You're Republican-controlled, and you had more fraud found in those three states that were published. Here it is, right here, everybody. Yes. Take a look at it. Then in those three, probably Wisconsin being number one, probably number one because you had everything put out there publicly, even in the court said it, the Supreme Court of Wisconsin, you had the Gableman investigation, all this stuff they can't deny. Here's 7 million people on your voter rolls, and here's 23,000 people that voted from the same phone number. These people, all these people that weren't in Wisconsin that voted, these people didn't march across into Wisconsin. They were, it was computer manipulated. But what did they all have in common, those three states, is they had blockers, Republican blockers. If anybody watching, if you don't realize how horrific that is, and that these guys, nobody can explain why Robin Voss did what he did and is blocking there, and especially what you just told us, blocking people from the subpoenas that want to admit what they did and want to tell the world what they did. It's bad enough the horrible journalists out here don't print anything, and it's bad enough we have to live in a world with Fox News who won't report anything. But yet to have our own party blocking things, that's just bizarre.
And I want to say Justice Gableman's reports are right on. There's 3 of them. You should read them at his website. The audience should. But Justice Gableman was just going to blow the whole thing wide open, and Robin Voss stepped in and nullified it.
When you say blow the whole thing open, was he also going to expose any criminal or potential criminal activity on the part of Robin Voss?
I believe it was more focused on the election fraud, back to the 9 subpoenas, if that's the correct number. I think it is. Maybe he sent out more subpoenas, but he was going to, those depositions, whether it's 9 or 11, that was going to blow open the whole thing. And who stopped that? Robin Voss.
Is this
right?
Is this...
And Brandon, when you stop, is it crime? When you stop, when you're part of a crime getting exposed, if you're part of the cover-up, I've told everybody, you're as bad as the people that did it.
You're an accessory.
That's like, when you're the driver of a getaway car in a bank robbery, or you're an accessory to murder because you helped bury the body, You know, I'm sorry, Robin Voss is a traitor, and I say criminal. If you're it's actually criminal. If you're covering up the crimes, that's criminal. Period. So let's watch and see what you
all
got
right,
there.
Here's what I think this is what you're talking about with Megan defending the integrity of the ballots. Here we go. Megan Wolf, Wisconsin Election Commission.
The president was referring to elections this morning early as a fraud and saying that they're, quote, finding votes everywhere. Anything you'd like to say about that and how the process went late into the night, early into the morning in Wisconsin?
Thank you for the question. I won't respond to that, but, you know, as I always do, I'm happy to talk about the facts of how elections work. And elections are such a deliberate, meticulous process where each of our local election officials and our local communities are conducting this process in a public setting. Every piece of data is publicly available. And so there's no opportunity to add additional votes to the tally, right? Because you have to make sure that everybody's registered to vote, that they have a lawful absentee request on file, or that they sign the poll book where they show their photo ID. There is no opportunity to count a ballot that did not go through that incredibly meticulous process to make sure it was issued correctly, to make sure that it's counted correctly. And then again, it also has to go through those three steps of canvas at the municipal, the county, and the state level before we have certified results. And anybody's welcome to watch that process. Some of the places even live streamed their tally last night. And so I think that it's insulting to our local election officials to say that any yesterday's election was anything but an incredible success that was a result of years of preparation and meticulously, carefully following the law.
Were they live streaming where they supposedly printed ballots and were swapping out USB drives?
I got to point out is that there's another major election fraud that Megan Wolf herself carried out. She issued a memo on her own. It was not voted on by the WEC Board of Commissioners. She issued a memo on her own to all the election clerks in the state of Wisconsin telling them that drop boxes were legal. They were never legal, and the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled this year, and they called her out by name that Megan Wolf illegally issued a memo and fooled the clerks and the public.
Right. So why aren't these people like Megan Wolf put in prison? When we get these machines melted down into prison bars, we're probably gonna need more machines. It's a good thing all the vendors from ES&S on down, all the machines are involved. All them, and they all need to be melted down. These electronic voting machines. Megan said one thing in there that caught my attention. Every piece of the data is available for public viewing. Yes. Every piece. How do you look inside a black everybody, you can't see what's inside that electronic voting machine. But here at Frank's Beach, we actually have one right up there posted. Everybody, you can see the 2020 election. Go to inside the machines here on Frank's Beach, and you can pull it up, get your own cyber guy, and see the two sets of books that were used in the 2020 election. I just talked to a horrible, horrible reporter from Miami-Dade County. He had his head in the sand. We're going to give him grace and say that he's just that stupid. I don't know how else to describe it, that he didn't go out and do due diligence. He knew nothing about. You mean there was you think there was election fraud in our election in 2020 and 2022? This is what he said to me. I go, have you not heard anything? I mean, right now, the United States, 53% of all people, Democrats and Republicans, now believe that the computers manipulated the 2020 election. 53%. And this isn't even counting all the other cheating that went on that you're bringing up here, Peter, that we have people want to admit to that have been caught. But the cover-up, isn't it frustrating in Wisconsin that you have people that you think that you trust, you know, people you trust, or the people they put trust into, like a Robin Voss, that are so criminal that they cover this up, or your Megan Wolf there, that these are, and even if you say, okay, well, it's the Republican Party, and that even makes, you call them rhinos, people will call them rhinos. No, this is criminal. When you cover up a crime, it's a crime. Everybody, that's what I want everybody to understand.
But Robin Voss doesn't know, but I'm going to tell him right now, there are sworn depositions coming of multiple people in the state of Wisconsin, and Robin Voss is going to get fully exposed of his role in this, because these people under sworn oath are not going to fall on the sword for Robin.
Is Robin Voss going to face the music in a courtroom, Peter?
He's going to face the music after these depositions are taken, and this is going to roll out against him for years. These lawsuits don't get settled in 30 days. So depositions are going to be taken this year. They'll be taken next year in certain cases, in other cases, and more cases are being filed.
Who can convene
and
a grand
Robin
jury?
Robin Voss is going to be implicated in what he did in 2020 and what he's done since.
Who can convene a grand jury in your state? You have a district attorney of sheriffs. Who is there any chance of a grand jury being seated somewhere in your state?
Well, I would have to suggest that you'd have to have a sheriff in a particular county who would be willing to investigate it. And then, of course, the county district attorney who would be willing to prosecute.
Well, as we know, that the Racine County sheriff, who was kind of like a hero around the country for a while there, all of a sudden he's thicker than thieves with Robin Voss and endorsed each other. I think they were, you know, maybe that's why the Racine investigation got dropped. How did that get dropped, Peter? When wasn't there charges at first? The Racine County Sheriff was going to let's press charges, and then they all got dropped. Or what happened in Wisconsin on that? Can you give us the details?
Based on what I know is or have been told is that Patricia Hansen is the Racine County District Attorney, and she has admitted to talking to or speaking with Robin Voss daily on the telephone. But you can't find those records, because I tell you what Robin Voss does. He will make his phone calls and do his texting and his emails. And at the end of every day, he deletes them all.
Well, they can certainly. He can't delete what's on my phone with old Robin Voss. I'll tell you that. You know, what I'd like to do is if we get any further, this, we're going to keep giving a weekly Robin Voss report. We kind of do it on Brad Crooked Raffenberger down in Georgia. I think we really need to have, we should have an hour every week, Brandon. Maybe, you know, it'll be an hour with all the traitors of the United States. And we've got, you know, Alan Duke's right in there. You know, it won't just be politicians, but we've got to include old Alan Duke and others. You know, we won't name no names, but maybe people like Sean Hannity. I don't know. You know,
Peter, can you tell me about this screenshot here? That's a cue to the guys in the control room. There we go. Yeah.
That's the instruction sheet. So, again, the nonprofit, the Center for Voter Information, was sent out over a million voter registration applications. Okay. Not requests for absentee ballots. And they mailed them to select citizens in the state of Wisconsin. We are told and informed by a person with firsthand knowledge. There's 250,000 of them returned, either to the city of Milwaukee, county of Milwaukee, Dane County, and then some scattered across the state. That instruction sheet was in with the mailing, and it states in there, if you can, it's hard to see, but on the right-hand side, you can see if you had questions to fill it out, you're supposed to call Civic Tech. This Civic Tech is a very liberal group down in Austin, Texas. And that's their phone number and their website or email. And so you're not supposed to contact your local municipal clerk in Wisconsin. You're supposed to call some liberal group in Austin, Texas, to get your application filled out correctly.
And what's the role? What was the role of somebody you reported your tweets? Somebody from Thailand involved in all this?
Lawrence Nilek, we've learned, he used to work for WEC a long time ago. He currently works for the UW-Madison as a system administrator. So I'm assuming he does computer work online, but he lives in Thailand. Now, I don't believe he did anything wrong at all. He was just an employee at the time who signed off on opening that secret P.O. box that Megan Wolf is using to process these illegal voter registration forms.
Wow.
Do you believe that innocent people were asked to do things not knowing that they were being used as pawns in some activities?
Well, it's when, like Clearwater Vogue, they scale way up on election season or election day, especially presidential elections, where they hire, you know, like over 1,000 people. So those people, sure, they don't know what's going on, but also the clerks don't know what's going on, because we are seeing registrations that are in the WISVOTE system, and they're being moved from one jurisdiction to another. And typically it always happens on election day. And then all of a sudden, by magic, a ballot's cast. So somebody's in the WISVOTE system moving registrations around, and we found a lot of them.
So are you telling me they can do that kind of stuff with computers? I mean, what? I want to ask you this. You know, everybody, you want to talk about the crime in Wisconsin in election. That's why we say they're in the top three. Exposed crime. Remember, every state, the same things went on in every state. Okay. That's a fact from Hawaii, Alaska, and all 48 continental United States. But just in Wisconsin, they were able to expose it all and go, how come no one's doing anything about it? How comes no one doing anything? In Wisconsin, Brandon, do you remember, I think it was this summer, maybe you'll know, Peter, that every vote in Wisconsin that goes through the computer, a split second later, it was going to the, a split second later, it was going to this this foundation, this weird foundation. Remember that, Brandon?
Yep, I do. I do, absolutely.
Wisconsin something. Are you aware of that, Peter?
Yes, well, I'm the person who found the IP address on the log tapes of a Dominion tabulator.
Wow.
I have to, I've tweeted that. It's in the tweets. So, but I did explain, though, we found that it's after 8 p.m. at night when the polls close in our state. And then the clerks, there's 27 out of the 72 counties that use wireless modems. And those are the ones that are then they flip the switch on after 8 p.m. And we found so far two IP addresses, different ones, of course, that go transmit the results at least through, if not to, WISCNET. WISCNET is a nonprofit, private nonprofit in the city of Madison. And then it went on to the final destination at the county, at the EMS, election management system of the Dominion County system. So it gives perfect opportunity for a person to hack, or even someone who just has a access to that network, because the WISCNET network, according to their own maps, is nationwide. In fact, the one of the legs goes down to Denver, and you know who's in Denver.
Right. Now I want to ask you this. Yeah, exactly. So I want to ask you this. Doesn't it bother you that, or is it beyond belief that, okay, you got the party covers it up, the Republican Party completely covering everything up and working for whoever they are. And then when you come out with something like this, WISCNET.com, did that get investigated? Is somebody going after that? Because it's illegal.
It's illegal because the Wisconsin Board of Commissioners, the six of them, they never voted on, we just learned this, they never voted, which is required by statute, to approve modems, to approve connection to the internet, to approve going to a nonprofit WISCNET, or at least through WISCNET. So they never approved all that. And it's back to Megan Wolf. This is very important. She wrote a 61-page staff memo and submitted to the board to vote on. And she's mentioning modems and she's spinning words around. You have to read it. She circles around a couple of times, but she never put the modems or the internet in the Appendix A. Appendix A is what the board voted on. Modems and internet were not in there.
Wow. Wow. Well, I thought they weren't. I thought none of them was connected to the internet. Come on. I've seen that in the news on Fox News. Okay. I want to ask you this. This is what, for all the terrible, horrible journalists that are watching right now, it still comes down to everybody, all of the evidence. We're just talking about one state, Wisconsin. We're talking about the biggest crime in history and the biggest cover-up in history for the biggest crime in history. And why do you say, well, Mike, why is it the biggest crime in history? Because of it manifests, we lose our country, which we lose everything, you know, when you lose your elections, everybody. The biggest problem that I believe we have had is, and you said it earlier when you were talking, Peter, you know, you have sat there and put this tweet after tweet out and uncovered things just like, you know, and covered evidence after evidence that is, you can't argue it. Here it is, everybody. But if nobody puts it on their show, if Fox News has Sean Hannity called you up and said, hey, what do you got there, Peter? Has Sean called you lately?
I wouldn't talk to Sean. I would talk to Tucker Carlson, but not Sean Hannity.
No, I'm just saying, has any of them, has Fox News? I'm being sarcastic. Of course Sean Hannity has called you. Sean Hannity has not talked about the elections since the election of 2020. You know, and I want everybody to know right now, you know, when Sean Hannity about 3 or 4 weeks ago said, here's what he said, Peter. He said, you know, Brandon, you know his quote exactly. What did he say?
He didn't believe it. He did not believe it for 1 minute.
That there was no what?
Election fraud.
Right?
Yeah. He did not believe what President Trump was saying for 1 minute about election fraud.
For 1 minute, he didn't believe it. Well, that's a lie, Sean, because I was at your house with Miguel in the summer of 21. In June of 21, everybody, when I was out there holding up the flag and saying, you know what, there's election crime in every county, we're going to lose our country, we got to melt down the machines. Sean says to Kendra, we're the last couple to leave his house, and it was a radio thing. It's not like we're big buddies or anything. It was a radio thing to get there so people could, you know, give Sean money, basically, is what it seemed like. You know, so anyway, seriously, it's just a fun for, you know, bring your vendors there that sell his products. And yeah, he still sells my pillow. Remember, we keep my pillow separate from we still advertise on every station, CNN, MSNBC. They badmouth me direct, but at least they badmouth me, everybody. Fox won't talk. But here's what Sean said. This is what we're up against. Said to my gal, said, don't you care about him? And he said, what do you mean? He goes, they're going to come after him. They're going to come after him. What do you mean like that? And he goes, if you care about him at all, you better tell him he's got to quit talking about this election crime. And we're going, Sean, you know, what do you mean? You know this all happened. He goes, and he says, yeah, but you're not going to get anywhere with it. And he says, and I said, if you don't start talking about stuff in the news here at Fox, I said, people trust you. They want to hear. They need to hear the news, the stuff that's coming out of Wisconsin. They didn't even report when all those nursing homes, Peter, Fox never reported that. Neither did Newsmax. None of them did. And it's news. When Fox finally stuck their head out of the sand from February 4th of 2021, the next time they ever talked about an election was after the state of Arizona went through the biggest audit in world history, and they showed all these things in this report that, 29,000 people that voted three times and all this stuff, and the difference was only 10,000 something. All that gets put in there, and Fox does, what do they do? Yep, Biden won. In fact, he even won by 11 more votes. Remember that, Brandon?
Yep.
You know, what Absolutely. A shame. Shame on Fox. But this, my question being, Peter, isn't it a surprise that the media, and I'm not talking about the attack media, I'm talking about the journalists, all journalists, they don't report things like you've uncovered and like everybody's.
We even have the smaller conservative news outlets in Wisconsin are not running with my tweets.
Let me just interrupt you. I will gladly put you on 60 radio stations that blanket Wisconsin on Monday if you want to.
All right.
Let's do that.
Mike, I want to point out, if you may know this or not.
But Brandon, can he say the word Dominion?
Yeah, he can.
Oh, good. Okay.
Mike, you may know this or not, but Robin Voss, Reince Priebus, and Paul Ryan were all college buddies at UW-Whitewater, and they're called the Whitewater Mafia.
God.
And you know who's on the Fox board? Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we know Fox has been either controlled opposition or they're completely, they've gone off the edge is what they've done, and it's sad. We pray that Tucker will, and Tucker has, he's starting to dip in as close as he can to the edge of the cliff there. He actually went down, everybody. I was so proud of him. He was down in Arizona at the America Fest big event we had a couple weeks ago, and he got up on that stage and he said, electronic voting machines and any computers in elections have to go. And I, you know, and if he could, he said it straight out.
Now, he said we had to go to paper like France, like you've been saying, Mike.
Yep, that's exactly right. We got to go to paper like France, the Netherlands, Germany, the UK. And so that brings up, we're probably running out of time here, but Peter, we'll get you on Brandon's show there on Monday. This is,
and let's if people want to
friend you right now, I want everybody to friend.
Yeah, show that, guys. Show it.
On Twitter.
There you go.
Go to Twitter.
There's his handle.
Get at Peter Bergniger. Get on there right now. And I just got on. Everybody share all this information across Twitter. And speaking of Twitter, I still would like to get a meeting with Elon Musk to talk about the election voting machines, the electronic voting machines and computers used in our country's election. I would like to show him the evidence where maybe, you know, since we won't have Fox or anyone else, we'll not show it or talk about it. Maybe Elon could be the hero we need for this country to get it all out there and show what we've had for 2 years.
Voss text you back?
Yeah. Here, I've just got another thing, a text from thing at Fox News. The January 6th committee released Social Security numbers of Trump officials and allies. Mm. 2,000 Social Security numbers just got released.
Good grief.
Heck, I'll get my eye on air. I don't
know.
No,
don't do that.
What's probably out there? It's like, heck, the FBI's got my stuff. I got stuff over here. It's like, okay. Well, thanks, Peter. And
thank you.
Keep on going. I'm going to share your stuff everywhere. Everybody else do the same. Get on Peter's social media, support him. But he's you're an American hero. So God
Absolutely.
Bless you.
Thank
Last
you, Peter.
Comment. Last comment I'd like to say is please read all the 177 tweets because it tells the whole story.
Absolutely. Okay. You can do that on Twitter. And let me mention another American hero, Mike Lindell. Take a look at this screenshot here, folks. If you appreciate all he's doing, all the people he's bringing to the table, to the microphone, do you think that Peter would get an audience this big anywhere else? Again, they're not knocking down his door. Even conservative media, he said, don't want to have him. So Mike Lindell's built a platform here, folks, to share with truth tellers and those who want to save the country. You got a couple ways you can support Mike. One is by going to MyPillow.com. MyPillow.com, use that promo code L77. There's a bunch of sales there. Another way, of course, is to go to MyStore.com, the home for American entrepreneurs, started by Mike Lindell. Go to MyStore.com. Use the same promo code, L77. That's how you support Mike Lindell. Also, LindellLegalFund.org. LindellLegalFund.org. Also at 7:30 tonight, a Lindell exclusive. We'll be showing for the very first time a documentary on the January 6th situation. Footage never seen before. Premiering tonight, 7:30 on Lindell TV. 7:30 Central. Tweet, text, email, Facebook, Gitter, Truth Social, Frank Social, however you get it out. 7:30 Central Time tonight. Premiering for the first time ever seen, a documentary on J6 with our guest, Ivan Raiklin. For Mike Lindell and Brandon House, thanks for tuning in. Take